Pacifico, Bill Hendricks.
I don't believe it.
Well, he's on the line. We're on the air?
Yeah, we're back on the air. World famous Phil Hendricks show. I got Harvey Wireman on the line here. You got to be putting me on. Is Harvey, you there? Mr. Wireman?
Yeah, it's Harvey Wireman, yeah.
Harvey, are you telling me that Turner got in touch with you because we took down the picture of B. Arthur?
Hold on for just a minute. Are we on the air right now? Because I want to make sure that this is being, recorded. Hold on. What? Are we on the air?
Yeah, we're on the air. And Harvey, I ask you to get, if you're going to be on the air with me, I can't have a lot of distractions.
I'm not distracting you. I asked my daughter if she could close a window. It's cold in here. That's all. I'm in my office. Is that all right with you?
That's fine. But the whole thing with the glasses and your granddaughter?
My granddaughter is not up. It is late at night. My granddaughter, where is Cassie? She's what? She's in the garage. She's in the garage for some reason.
How old is your granddaughter?
Well, if it's any of your business, she's four.
She's 4 years old on the West Coast right now. It is 11 o'clock.
Okay, Dave Garraway, on the West Coast right now. Well, you know what? That's not my problem. That's my daughter's problem. She's the mother of the granddaughter. I'm the grandfather. I don't get a say in anything. If the kid was starving to death, they wouldn't ask me, should we go buy food? They and they alone would make those decisions. That's how it is for grandparents. Are you aware of that? Hey, Henry.
Yeah, I'm here. I don't know what your problems are as a grandparent. All I'm asking you is that we keep the distractions to a minimum.
All right, well, a minute ago, you were worried about my granddaughter being in the garage.
Aren't you?
It's none of my business.
Well, what is she doing up?
I don't know. What is it with you people? I'm here to talk about this guy. Dr. Turner contacted me because he has been manhandled and stuff has been done to him by you.
That's very lawyerly. I like that.
Well, I tell you what you do, my fine feathered friend, Mr. President of the Judicial Board of Review. You can go and complain to the Judicial Board of to the Bar Association, or just go to any bar and complain loudly in a bar. And they probably would care more about what you've got to say than the Bar Association would. But until that time, allow me to continue, if you don't mind.
I'm just saying. Go ahead.
There you go. Atta baby. Now, your guest, Dr. Turner, came on the program, and Dr. Turner is on the other line. I'm going to get my daughter, Melinda. Mary, Candy, I forget my daughter's name because my current girlfriend is...
You forget your daughter's name.
Harvey.
Yes?
I thought your daughter's name is Cassidy and your granddaughter...
Well, my granddaughter's Cassidy and my daughter is Caroline. Yeah, Caroline. Get the... Mr. Blaylock.
Dr. Turner.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dr. Turner, get him on the phone, will you? He's in Denver, Colorado. You can use the usual exchange here. So what he said was this. He called me up and said that you had promised you wouldn't take the B. Arthur picture down.
Now, I have a right to ask a question. We're on a radio show right now.
Go ahead.
Are you trying to tell Phil and myself and Dickman and Leonard...
I'm not trying to tell Dickman and Leonard anything. I'd rather not talk to them, but that's the hand that I've been dealt, so I'm playing it, close to the vest.
And we do appreciate that, because I got to write a note, too.
Yeah, okay, Mumbles. So...
I'm not mumbling. You heard me.
No, I didn't hear you.
Yeah, you did. You heard me. You know what it's about.
No, I didn't. I didn't hear you. Please speak more clearly.
Whoa. Watch. Just back off. Now, what is the problem with Dr. Turner?
The problem is that you said you'd leave a certain picture on your home site of B. Arthur, the actress, a painting, which my understanding is a very famous painting, one that was done in the spirit of the artistic endeavor, one that was done by a noted artist, this man, well-known man, I don't know what the hell his name is, but isn't he known to you, Mr. Henry?
I've never heard of him, no.
Well, he's got a lot of integrity, and people know him, and they love what he does. Oh, John Curran, there it is, because you left it, it's still there, you jackball. It doesn't say B. Arthur in the Marine Corps.
Well, the cachet on my website is weird, so it's there. It's updated. Yes, John Curran.
All right, John Curran. John Curran did a painting of B. Arthur with no top on. You said to Turner that you'd leave it up there so he could make it home, and I'm sorry, I'm just doing what you know. And so he called me up and he said that this painting was going to be there. So I said, "What is it of?" He said, "It's a B. Arthur topless." I said, "Okay, I'm going to have to go over and check it." And I went over to check this. Now I closed the door to my office. And I locked it, because I'm in a home where there's people, okay?
Yeah.
Don't go, yeah. Let me just explain. I went, and my pants were down around my knees.
Oh, God.
Well, hold on. I'm trying to make a point here, all right?
Well, do you have to tell us your in-office habits?
I'm making a point. The point that I'm making, Mr. Henry, is you've got a problem here. You've got a dumb... You got a dummy.
Yeah, you're the one with the dummy problem.
Hey, listen, I don't have to stand for this.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that with my pants down around my knees, and the reason for that is if I've got to represent a guy who, if the guy is looking for paddle time, okay, let's just call it what it is.
This is juvenile.
Excuse me, Margaret. No one's talking to you. You got no business in this conversation. So I'm checked. Now I see that it's a B. Arthur in a Marine Corps uniform. Now, my instinct is to run away from something like that. And that's exactly what I attempted to do, forgetting that my pants were at my knees.
So naturally you fell over and got injured.
That's exactly right. I fell over and hit my head on the magazine rack. And my daughter is pounding on the door saying, "Dad, are you okay?" And I'm, yeah, I'm fine. I'm groggy. I'm trying to get my pants up before she kicks the door in. And then I realize it isn't her kicking on the door. It's my granddaughter, my four-year-old. So
Wait. You're hearing your daughter.
Yeah, my daughter's saying, "Dad, you're okay." But the one on the other side of the door with what sounds like some kind of a ball-peen hammer is the four-year-old beating on the lock. And I just did get my pants up and belted when the lock gave way and the door came open, and it's my daughter and my granddaughter.
This four-year-old kid busted open a lock with a ball-peen hammer?
So sue me. I don't know.
Well, I don't know whether to admire a child like that, to have you arrested.
Arrested for what? I'm in my own home. And this guy here said it was B. Arthur with no top on, and what do I see instead? I see a kisser on her. Man, there I am with my, look, let's just call a spade a spade. If I'm ready to, and I look and I, well.
You know what, I can't listen to that guy babbling around like that.
Yeah, but Bush got the point out.
What point? If he's going to file some legal action against me because I took down the B. Arthur picture of her topless and put up one of her in the Marine Corps, and that's what caused him to run frightened from the computer with his pants around his knees, he falls, hits his head on a magazine rack, his granddaughter, all 4 years of her, busts the lock with a ball-peen hammer.
What's a ball-peen hammer?
A ball-peen hammer, I think, is one of those two-sided hammers. Ain't that what that is, Robert?
I don't know. Ball-peen hammer's pretty powerful, though.
Yeah, it's a powerful hammer. And, what the hell? Just, what are they talking about? He's going to sue me for what?
Probably restraint of trade or...
Yeah, how about restraint of trade?
What do you mean restraint of trade? How is it that that's restraint of trade that he didn't get to look at B. Arthur with her top off?
Well, it's restraint of something. I mean, you restrained him from...
His trade, which is paddle. Paddle time.
Wow!
Watch it. All right, we'll be back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show with more news. Ron Weaver, a famous TV producer, has passed on. Speaking of television, New Girl, I think, had its last episode of the season this very evening. Just wanted to point that out because we were moving on to. Oh, you know what? There was a very interesting story that I wanted to get to about the most destructive tweets of all time. You ready for that? We'll get into that when we come back. The most destructive, the most damaging tweets, not of all time, but of recent memory, on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth. Why are you thinking of television?
Is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Bobby Dooley joining us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association this evening. We're going to talk a little bit this evening with her about Kirstie Alley. Bobby, as you know, is not only the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association, she's also the president of their parent-teacher organization and also on the planning committee of their forthcoming Springtacular, which is this weekend, right, Bobby?
That's correct, Phil. Our Springtacular will be happening on Saturday and Sunday this weekend, which would be the 16th.
And 18th.
Steve says it's the 18th. So our gala dinner would be on the 17th. That would be on the Friday night. Then comes our Junior Miss Fashion Show, the main fashion show, Steve's Tiki Dance.
Is Steve still doing the Tiki Dance, huh?
Yes, he is. Why?
Well, I just thought that it was...
That's a big hit for the people.
It's a big hit, huh?
Yes, it is a big hit. Why?
Well, isn't that the problem you had?
No, Margaret. That was not Steve. Those were some rather enthusiastic partygoers. Steve does a Tiki Dance, Phil, at the end of our Saturday night, which is our big Saturday night gala. And you've seen the Tiki Dances, haven't you?
No, I have not. Are you talking about torch dances?
It's like a torch dance, yeah.
Excuse me, I can do it. It's like a torch dance. Steve is in a Sulu.
That like the guy from Star Trek?
May I speak without being interrupted?
Bud, watch it, will you?
Well, it is called a Sulu.
Yes, it is called a Sulu, but it's not a Mr. Sulu or any. It is the traditional South Pacific, or if you will, Southern Pacific, native dress. You know what? Forget it.
What are you doing, Bud?
He said Southern Pacific.
Yes, but all you did was hack her off. Well, you have to get her back on the phone.
Yeah, I'll call her up.
Kind of childish of her to hang up on that, though, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, hi, Ms. Dooley. Bud Dickman, I'm sorry that I said what I did. Yeah, it was me. I said Southern Pacific. Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I have sons who do that, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
And when you do that, you only make a complete ass out of yourself and make me look better, which I'm glad you're doing that, but it also makes me look bad when I have to hang up on you.
Yes, ma'am.
So please don't do that. You already have one strike against you with a big plate in your head. Don't you, the one with the plate?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So let's go back. Oh, we're on the air now?
Yeah, I've been on the air.
The what?
No, I'm on the air.
A ball bearing is on the air. What?
All of that was on the air.
Oh, you dirty Phil Henry. There won't be anywhere you can hide.
Well, what? Phil, you could have interrupted them.
Yeah, we can do it. I'm just sitting there listening to it.
I was stunned. I guess I was liking the fact you were apologizing to her. I was a little bit stunned the whole thing was happening. I
should have got in there and stopped. Want me to call her back?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, hello? Is this the Dooley residence? Bobby Dooley, please. Oh, you're Ms. Dooley? Oh, okay. Yeah, this is Bud Dickman at the Phil Henry Show. Uh-huh. You were just on the air. You were just now on the air there. Just now? You were. No. You were. Is this Bobby Dooley? Yeah.
Give me that phone. Ms. Dooley? What's your name? Thank you. No, sorry to bother you. I don't know how you got Domino's, man, but get the...
I thought it was Bobby Dooley.
It's Domino's Pizza. Get her back on the phone, will you?
Yeah, Ms. Dooley? Oh, yeah. Will you go back on the air?
Not if you're sticking me on the air while I'm saying... Are we on the air now?
Ms. Dooley, you're now on the air with me, Phil Henry.
But was I on the air just a second ago?
Yes, you were.
Both of you guys can, I swear to God, go ass first into hell in a pitchfork.
Well, you know what? I don't even want to have her on the air now.
You have to have her on the air, Phil. This is the report that they're doing here on what is this, Abercrombie & Fitch? I forget which one, but yes, it's Kirstie Alley.
Go ahead.
Ms. Dooley? Yeah, Mr. Henry's sorry. Yeah. Yeah, he knows it. Well, he knows he's an ass.
Give me the phone. Ms. Dooley, I apologize. Oh, this is Mr. Dooley. Would you get Ms. Dooley? Get your wife. Your wife. Is there a female there? Is she... How old is she? It's got to be your wife. Or, all right, if it's... Well, you know what your sister looks like, right? I said you know what your sister... I'm not saying anything about your sister. You said your sister's there. You know what she looks like, right? You know what your... All right, get any female in the house that's the same age as your sister. Isn't that... You know what your wife looks like? She was just on the air with us. I said she was just... Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize. Your wife, Bobby Dooley. Yes. Miss Dooley?
I'm right here.
Okay, thank you.
Why were you yelling at my husband?
Because I kept asking him, can I speak to Bobby Dooley? And he goes, who's that? Hello? Hello? All right. One more time, and then I'm going to kill somebody. How's that? That sounds fair, doesn't it?
Ms. Dooley?
I'll do it. Ms. Dooley? Oh, it's a dial tone.
Yeah, I hadn't called her yet.
Then why are you talking into the phone?
Practicing.
I'm talking about practicing, man. You got to practice, say hello.
Shut up. Yo, Ms. Dooley, this is Bud Dickman over at the Phil Henry Show. Yeah, you're just talking to Mr. Henry. No, that wasn't me. That was Mr. Henry. I know we sound the same. Give me that.
Ms. Dooley, hi. Please don't hang up on us.
Mr. Henry, I don't need to be insulted by being told that I sound like my husband's sister.
All I was saying was that Mr. Dooley didn't seem to know what I was talking about when I just called, you know, when I just now talked to him.
Well, he was sitting here right with me. In fact, I was sitting... The fact is, we were together.
Okay. Now, Ms. Dooley, I apologize for any misunderstanding. Would you like to give your opinion now on Kirstie Alley?
I would like to give my opinion on Kirstie Alley. She is slamming Abercrombie & Fitch for the CEO's anti-fat remarks. Abercrombie & Fitch has lost yet another customer, and this one isn't afraid to speak her mind. Kirstie Alley, she blasted the retail chain's CEO Mike Jeffries for his controversial remarks in a recently resurfaced 2006 salon... Oh, God, I'm bored with this. I'm tired. You do it, Steve.
Can I do it, Mr. Henry?
Wait a minute. I got your wife.
I'm bored with it.
I can do it, Mr. Henry.
No. I was talking to your wife. That's the...
Here. Mike Jeffries made some remarks about a fat woman. You know, this is kind of boring. Okay.
I'm sorry, Phil. I didn't know that it would be this tiring, this story. Thank you very much, Phil. We have, we hope everybody comes out
Springtacular.
Thank you, yeah, to our Springtacular on Saturday night.
You don't want to do the story on Kirstie Alley?
No, I just, please don't. I'll take another run at it if you want.
Go ahead.
The actress told, oh, God, no.
Yeah, it's no good. We don't want to do it. Thank you, though.
Thank you very much.
Well, there you go. That's what you get for having that imbecile on your program.
She has often done reports like that.
Well, I think she's done one too many. She's a crawling idiot. She's got her little winter-tacular or spring-tacular or whatever. She has that husband that she's got on a leash and a dog collar. And, by the way, who cares what Kirstie Alley thinks about some man's comments about fat women? We all know which side of the bread, if you will, Kirstie Alley is going to fall squarely on, and that's the side with all that fattening butter.
Yeah, no kidding. Which side of bread the butter's on.
Yes. So I don't think there's any unusual, there's nothing unusual going on there. And that she is taking on Mike Jeffries because he made fun of fat women. How many clothes do they have at Abercrombie & Fitch which fit fat women?
Well, look, it happens to be an area of sensitivity. Now, I will say this. Having been a guy, have you ever had to shop at a fat woman store?
I should say not.
Okay, fine. Have you, Robert? Have you, Bud?
Not yet, but probably when I'm a little bit later on, I will.
Yeah, me too.
All right. I got so fat once that I was looking for a jacket. I'm trying to think of where I was going. Oh, I think I was on my way. I know where I was going. I was on my way to St. Vincent and the Grenadines. We were taking that vacation down there 3 years ago. In fact, I just posted a picture on Facebook of me in the water. It was beautiful, beautiful place. And I had to go to a portly and fat guy store to get a jacket. Nothing fit me. And I think that was the beginning. It took me 2 years, but that was the beginning of me trying to lose weight.
2 years later.
Yes, 2 years later. But that was the beginning. Then another 2 years of eating, and I wanted to get good and fat. And then I decided now I will react to the humiliation of being in that fat guy store. World famous Phil Henry Show, be right back.
Hendry.
David G. Hall, we don't have to have David on the line, okay? We can probably kick this off just as well without him. What?
I got him on the phone.
What did I just say to you, man?
Don't yell at him.
No. Hold on. What did I just say to you? We don't need David on the phone.
I told him to put me on the air.
Well, you're not the guy to make that call, are you?
Well, I mean, look, why can't I still be, even though I'm not the boss, why can't I still be the boss?
Because you're not the boss. You're a partner in this enterprise. And not a very good one.
Oh, look at you, getting all upset and angry, you know, spoiling for a fight. You really hate the suits, don't you?
Of course I do. Look at you. Okay? I've been sitting here starving for the last God knows how many years. So when I say he goes on the air, he goes on the air not a second before.
What a pain in the ass. Don't worry about it, bud.
Okay, Mr. Hall.
Wait a second. He's not telling you what to do. I tell you what to do.
Go ahead, bud.
Okay, Mr. Hall.
Wait a minute.
He's doing what you want him to do, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's doing it because you told him to do it.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
It means I want him to do it because I told him to do it.
Bud, just do what he wants you to do.
Okay, Mr. Hall.
You see what I'm talking about?
What? I just gave him...
You told him to do what I said to do.
Yeah, isn't that what you wanted?
Yeah, but you're telling him to...
You know, Phil... This is the day and age of communication, and if you can't get out a sentence without going, that's what it sounded like. Isn't that right, baby? Caroline is here with me, okay? You know, my new girlfriend?
Yeah, the one with the 15 different names.
Oh, boy. How about that guy giving a crap about your name? She thinks there's something wrong with you. She thinks you need a vacation. I agree.
I just had a vacation.
Was it any good?
No.
Well, maybe...
Need to take another one?
Yeah. All right, go ahead, bud. Just do what he wants.
Okay, Mr. Hall.
That's it. I'm hanging up on you.
No, hang up on me.
All right, are we ready to do this?
Yeah, I'm going to tell everybody about what it's going to be.
What?
What'd you just say, man?
Here, I'll do it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Margaret Gray. Bud Dickman has a very rare opportunity that has been presented to him by the NFL. Is this what this is?
Yes, NFL.
By the NFL Films. Bud Dickman is going to audition for a very rare opportunity from the NFL Films. Now, Bud Dickman...
Who wrote this?
I did.
Well, it's redundant, man.
Well, let me get to the... Here. Bud Dickman is going to audition for the NFL Films before your very ears. Jesus.
Yeah, how do you like that touch?
Yeah, that's great, man.
That touch's all right.
Yeah, you're right. Is better as good as that?
Yeah.
Bud Dickman, your congenial host. Bud, do we need all of this?
Yeah, just read it.
Bud Dickman, your congenial host.
Well, first of all, you're not the host. I am.
Oh, here, let me scratch it out.
Don't wet your finger with the oh God.
Lord,
come on.
Bud Dickman, your congenial intern. Will now begin to audition for the NFL film job.
Okay, I need cut five, Robert. Cut five.
Okay, hold on. Cut five?
Yeah, should be the one that goes, no, that's gay. Jack, yeah. Yeah, that's it. Okay, ready?
All right, wait. Let's tell everybody, okay?
I just did.
No, you didn't. Bud Dickman, your congenital whatever...
Congenial
intern. Bud is auditioning for the NFL Films job, the voice of the NFL Films. I don't know how he got this job, this audition. And you're going to be narrating to some sample film here, right?
Yeah, see, it's a VCR, but people can't see it. And I got, game film and everything.
Okay, and you're going to be narrating the game film like we hear on NFL Films.
Yeah. And I got to do it to the music the way that the one guy did.
Well, John Facenda or Harry Callis or those guys.
Well, I don't know who they are, but they did it good.
Okay. Here now, ladies and gentlemen, is Bud Dickman. Now, what game is this?
This is the 1971... 1971 Kansas, or I don't know.
Okay, just do it, okay?
Yeah. On a cold gray afternoon on October 4th, and the Green Bay Packers come onto the field, led by their erstwhile quarter... What's that mean, erstwhile?
Turn off the music. Who wrote this?
I did.
Well, then why are you putting words in there that you don't understand?
Yeah, it's very good. Get that out of there, man. It's just being formal. Yeah. All right,
hit it.
Late in the afternoon, Bart Starr. Wait a minute. Scratch that out. Stop it. Stop the music,
Robert.
Stop the music, will you?
Robert, stop the music. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm sorry.
He was cleaning his fingernails. Oh, God.
Sorry.
What did you want to say?
That Brett Favre.
Go ahead.
Late in the afternoon on the Green Bay Packer, when Brett Favre was leading the team down a field. On second down and four, he gave a ball to the running back, and it's William Henderson for 3 yards. Hey. Then another thing that happened is...
Wait. Can I just...
Yeah.
Why did you go, hey?
Well, I think the thing that the other guys don't do that I might have an advantage on, because the guy told me to try to be original.
Uh-huh.
Is to go, yeah, hey, you know, like cheer.
Well, they don't cheer, though, bud. They may have some enthusiasm.
Hey, just, Margaret, no offense or anything, but it's kind of a guy thing here.
Margaret can give her opinion.
Exactly. This is a guy thing. You're talking about broadcasting, narration, right up my alley.
If you'll pardon the expression.
If I'll pardon the expression.
Watch it, will you?
Keep him away from me. Just keep him far away from me.
All right, ready?
Go.
Then breaking into the clear is another guy, and he's out of Atlanta Falcons and stuff. Then the Atlanta Falcons, they go down to the 10-yard line, and then he threw the ball, and the guy got injured. His leg got busted. Here on a replay, you can see. Look at that. See how the bone comes out and everything? That's like the time of Terry Theismann, or whatever his name is.
Joe Theismann?
Oh, yeah. Stop it. Stop the music. What are you doing, man?
I'm doing these top music, man. You gonna try to get through one of these things?
Yeah, but if you gotta stop it.
Hold on for a minute. Terry Theismann? You mean Joe Theismann?
I don't know. Is that the guy there whose leg's going the wrong way?
Yes, that was Joe Theismann. Is this the Monday night game against the Giants? All right.
Yeah, you know all these games, Mr. Henry. Maybe you ought to do this.
Yeah, maybe I ought to. God knows I could use the bread. Why, I remember years ago. What are you doing with the music all of a sudden?
Well, they hit it. We didn't want to hear you talking.
Shut up. All right, go ahead.
As the poet has often said, when the winds of winter are blowing, then the autumn leaves begin to fall on London Town. This is Bud Dickman, NFL Reports, Films. Then,
what, are you making this up as you're going?
Yeah, I'm ad-libbing a little bit. What's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with ad-libbing, Phil.
Yeah, when he does it, there is. You know, I gotta tell you.
Hold on for a minute. Mr. Hall wants to talk to you.
What?
Well, you quit interrupting the kid. I'm sitting here trying to listen to this. Turn that music off. I'm sitting here trying to listen to this kid, and you're butting in and bugging him and everything.
The kid's butchering it, okay? He's not gonna get a job doing this.
Doing what?
He's making it up as he goes along, and look at this, there's Terry Theismann. Is that the guy whose bone is going the wrong way? I mean, I'm telling you.
Well, like, you know, just let him ease into it. He may be developing his own style, especially when he went, hey, that's unique.
That's right, the guy cheering for something. I'm telling you, you're leading this kid astray.
I'm not leading him. Go ahead, bud, keep doing your thing.
Go ahead.
It wouldn't be long before the Oakland Raiders would have the ball back on the third quarter. And that's when the magic started to happen. Looky here as Mark Wilson rolls out to the right and hits Todd Christensen in the flat. I don't know what flat means, but good thing he doesn't have a flat. What about that?
Turn it off. Good thing he doesn't have... I don't know what a flat is. So, Bud, if you're going to do football, okay?
Phil, now let's just remember one thing. You're not Tom Harmon. You know, you're not the second coming of Sid Gilman.
Hold on for a minute. I'm just telling the kid, if you're going to do a football narration, you can't go, oh, I don't know what that means, but it sounds really funny.
But what is it?
The flat is an area of the field. It's kind of a safety valve area. Well, no, the flat is a short zone. That's the flat. The short zone. It's the shorter area where you pass the ball as opposed to the deeper area. And it's generally toward the sidelines. It's not in the backfield. The flat is just past the line of scrimmage.
You sure about that?
No, but it sounds damn good. You ready?
Well, I'm not going to say it if it's not right.
Oh, no, you're not going to say it if it's not right. You're just going to say, hey, passed it into the flat. I don't know what that is, but it sounds really cool.
Yeah, that's way better. The year is 1960, you know, like four.
Hold on for just a minute. What are you making this stuff up as you go, man? You don't even know what year it is?
I don't know what the game is.
Well, what is the game?
Bears against the Cards.
What year?
I don't know.
What's the St. Louis Cardinals, man?
No, it's the St. Louis Cardinals.
And it is football.
Yeah, but you think it's baseball?
With you, sure. All right, so what year?
Here it is right here. Is this it?
63. Go.
Larry Wilson, one of the great safeties that ever did done play with the St. Louis Cardinals on his day as number 8 with no teeth, and he ran his head into a brick wall, and it's all messed up. On this play, as the ball is released, you'll see a guy catches it, and then he runs down the field. If he wasn't tackled, you would have gone in for a touchdown. Hey! I'm Bud Dickman, and this is the NFL Films. I'm Bud Dickman, and this is the NFL Films. The Super Bowl is the championship of the
football world.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know who that voice was. I'm doing the game here.
You turn that off. Of the National Football League.
What?
That's what the Super Bowl is the championship of, you jackass, you.
Okay. The Super Bowl is the championship of the football, well, of the National Football.
Yeah.
On this very blustery, wintry day, the teams met, only it was inside at the Silverdome in Pontiac, Michigan, which is also the name of the car. And that's when they make the cars. Well, in Detroit, but Pontiac, Michigan is near there. And it wasn't the Detroit Lions that was playing, it was the, well...
I guess you have to look that up, huh?
Yeah.
That's part of your whole ad lib?
Sort of.
This has been Bud Dickman auditioning.
I'm not done yet.
Yes, you're done. You're finished. Thank you very much, Bud.
What do you think?
I think that your method is revolutionary. Kind of like, you know, when your stomach can't take a big dose of Mexican food. That's revolutionary, too, you know.
But it all comes out in the wash.
Anyway, we'll be right back here. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Ted Bell is due up next hour. He's going to be talking with us. Something's happening at Ted's at Beverly Hills. I don't know what it is, but Ted requested some airtime, so we'll be talking to him. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Bell is going to be joining us next hour, probably, and I say probably because I can't remember what the hell it is he's going to talk about.
Well, do you have to remember?
I'd like to know. Was he going to get on about the... I think he's upset about this Cicada article, right?
Well, he thinks it's a little rube.
A little rube? There's some chef back east that has come up with a cicada... This culture that we live in, this country of ours, everything's got to be a bloody event. You know, you got to turn everything into something. So it's like Twitter, and maybe it's just the people that I follow on Twitter, but everybody is making a joke about whatever happens to be a headline. Even the things that are trending are not necessarily, in my opinion, top of mind. But here come the cicadas now. And these are these insects that come out of the ground. you know?
I don't know anything about it, and I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, it's great, bud. So, wow.
Bud, you don't have to know anything about it. They're still going to come out of the ground.
Well, these are animals, these are insects that are hatched, and they're dormant for 17 years or something. Some guy back east has turned them into a recipe.
Good God.
I wouldn't eat it. No way. You know, anytime anybody says to me, boy, Phil, you had a really healthy weight there for a long time, 300 pounds, I guess you eat anything, huh? No. No, I don't. I don't eat that stuff. I don't eat insects. You know?
But not a lot of Japanese. That's a delicacy.
That's nice. I'm glad to hear that it's a delicacy for them, because I wouldn't eat it, man. I wouldn't eat it with your mouth. Or yours, bud.
Well, some of the delicacies that we're talking about... Now, as you were stating on an earlier show, you have had periwinkle.
Yes, I've had the periwinkle.
What's that?
Periwinkles are they're like little tiny miniature snails.
What? Are you out of your mind or something? Eat a snail?
I had that when I was in France. I had the most vile seafood platter. There's two places you never want to get a seafood platter. Seafood platter, in American speak, sounds kind of cool. Yeah, some shrimp, and a little bit of lobster, and maybe there's a crab cake. You know, really cool, delicious, spicy, fun seafood. Maybe a little bit of chowder, you know. That's a cool seafood platter in America. But when I say in America, I should say middle-class America. But if you go to some place, you order a seafood platter, Jack, you're going to get something that they just might as well have stuck a net in the deepest part of the ocean and pulled up whatever the hell was in there, and they said, here, have that. I'm telling you.
You went to a Chinese restaurant. That's what you're talking. I've had that experience.
Not just the Chinese restaurant, but this French restaurant. I said, I'll have the seafood platter. Oh, my God, the Chinese restaurant. I was getting eel arms and, hey, God. And, I mean, you know, the fish with the head and...
Yeah, you're supposed to serve the fish with a head on it, man.
Says who?
That's the way a lot of the expensive restaurants serve it.
Well, I don't even mind that, man, if it's broiled or if it's tasty, but this thing was almost raw, and then there was like eel. Get out of here with eel. Who is the guy that decided he's going to eat that?
Well, eel is a delicacy, I think, in Finland or somewhere like that, northern Germany.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that great? Not for me. No way.
Well, Phil, I think you want to be Catholic in your tastes. I don't mean Catholic in the religion.
No, I don't want to be Catholic in... You mean universal?
Yes.
No.
No.
Yes.
No.
No.
Yes.
No. I don't want to do any of that. I don't want to have any of that. I don't want to go near any of that. I can't. So there, that's proof positive, man, that no, I will not eat anything. And the idea, the very notion of eating that some of that slop, holy God... It was all I could do. I'll never forget. Somebody served me something. I don't know what the hell it was. It was all I could do to get that down. It was some kind of monkey brains. That was it. And I had that in China.
You gotta be putting me on monkey brains.
Why? Does it make you smarter or something?
You trying to be a smartass?
No. Well, they say it make you smarter if you have brains.
No, it don't make you smarter if you have brains. Especially if it's a dumb monkey.
No.
All right, fine. So he gets the jokes, and so in any event, yeah, I had a monkey brain soup, and I felt like I had to eat it because our hosts were, you know, all smiling down at us, just you'll love this. This is fantastic. You know, they were all Buddhist monks, and they were good guys, and they'd worked all day long to serve this feast, and most of it was really good.
At the time, you said you ate the dumpling like a dumbass.
Yes, yes. They came to the table, and they had the most delicious. I was starving because we'd been riding bikes all day. So they put down in front of us, each of us, a little basket. And in the basket is this delicious dumpling. Well, what does dumbass here do? I just went and I ate it. And then the Chinese guy came around with the plum sauce. And he was looking at me like, oh, man, you idiot.
Yeah, you ate the dumpling before they gave it a plum sauce.
Exactly. So everybody else was enjoying their dumpling with their plum sauce and...
You were plum out of plum sauce.
That's pretty good, Miss Ray. See, that one was really good. The one you did, Phil.
I get it already. Okay, don't worry about it. Yeah, so I missed out on... but I'll tell you what, that was one hell of a delicious dumpling, man. And that was just like the first course. So, you know, I'll dig into anything they serve up. Then they had another thing over there called a 1,000-year-old egg. No, bud, it wasn't 1,000 years old. That's just what they call it, okay?
And they call it a 1,000-year-old egg, why? Because it's black, right?
Yes, it's a black egg. And,
ew! Are you kidding me?
Take it easy. If you sat down in a guy's house and he served you a 1,000-year-old egg, you're going to go, ew, like that?
Well, yeah, I'd be more polite about it. Well, how would you do it? I'd go, ew.
Still, that's rude. You don't do anything. Don't say anything. You go, thank you very much, sir. What a pleasant, wonderful dinner we're having. Yes, I'd like to have the 1,000-year-old egg. Then you'd eat it.
I don't want to eat a 1,000-year-old egg.
You're going to eat it because you're going to be polite. Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back. Thank you. God bless.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
Have mercy.
Phil Hendry.